The last time Fonda Miller's mother made breakfast on a school day was, well, who knows? Joan, a feminist studies professor, believed in her daughter's right to choose when it came to their bodies. Yet, on this Friday morning in November, Joan insisted they sit at the kitchen table and eat chia pudding, of all things. Meanwhile, she was at the counter, grinding coffee beans and humming, like it was perfectly acceptable to give someone the right to choose and then not let them choose anything. Fonda wanted to press for an explanation, but that's what older sisters were for. Winfrey was 16, Amelia was 14, and Fonda's age didn't matter. She didn't matter when they were around. Neither would her questions. "It's one of the three D's, isn't it, Joan?" Winfrey finally asked. The waves were epic, her friends were at the beach, and her FOMS, fear of missing surf, was intensifying. She clearly wanted out. "Three D's? I have no idea what that means." The mess of crimson curls around Joan's face bobbed as she sat. "Death, divorce, disease," Amelia explained, pink mirrored sunglasses already on. "So, which one is it?" "Divorce?" Joan scoffed. "I'd have to be married first, and I'll never, ever." Amelia gasped. "You have a disease?" "No, Amelia, I don't have a disease, and I haven't died either. I'm speaking at the Freedom of Expression dinner in Los Angeles next Saturday."
"Sounds like death to me," Winfrey mumbled.
"The topic is stand up to gender bias, in case anyone was wondering." They weren't.
"How long?"
Amelia asked.
"Saturday afternoon until Sunday morning."
"You're going to stand the entire time?"
Fonda giggled, because come on, Amelia was a high school freshman. She should know that standing up meant speaking out in support of something, not anti-chair.
Winfrey's bright expression clouded over.
Quick note for you, Jay.
Joan folded her arms across her chest, ready but not prepared for whatever Winfrey was about to ask.
"I refuse to be babysitted by Sari Poppins."
"Babysitted is not a word, and your nanny's name is Sari Sullivan."
"Joan, she's a cheery British lady who brings crafts and uses an umbrella when it's 72 and sunny. What do you expect?"
Joan looked at her daughters, like really looked.
Then she said,
"You're right. It's time."
"Time?"
Fonda asked, heart beating.
"For what?"
Joan took a deep breath and turned to Winfrey. "You're going to be 17 in January, and..."
"You're finally buying me a yellow Mini Cooper convertible?"
"No," Joan said.
"A yellow Mini Cooper convertible with surf racks?"
"A convertible with surf racks?" Fonda laughed. "How would that even work?" "This isn't about a car," Joan said. "It's about next Saturday night."
"No way. Uh-uh. I am not going to that lecture."
Fonda took the napkin off her lap and stood. "Where are you going?"
"I'm standing up for my freedom."
Amelia removed her sunglasses.
"I thought you didn't have to stand."
"This has nothing to do with standing," Joan insisted. "I was thinking of letting you girls stay here alone while I'm gone." Winfrey jumped out of her seat.
"You're leaving me in charge?"
"Yes!" Amelia jumped up too, and the two girls enveloped Joan in a suffocating hug. "Wow, someone's happy to see me go." She tried to lift her arms and hug them back, but their grip was too tight.
"I'm not,"
Fonda peeped, because Winfrey was going to be a tyrant. If only they had a dad who could step in and take over. But no, their father was a mysterious sperm donor who, according to the West Coast Cryobank catalog, loved Greek mythology, med school, and his maternal grandmother.